B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Another turnover by the Bruins. Left of the net. Now we've got a penalty. And Rask makes the save. Swatted over to the near side. High slot. Barbashev. Far side fired. Wide. Rebound. Gunnarsson. Near point. Gunnarsson high slot. High slot. He fires and scores. Carl Gunnarsson.
BackstageCountry.com. Your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Thanks for starting your day with Toucher and Rich.
Why are you doing this to me?
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Another turnover by the Bruins. Left of the net. Now we've got a penalty. And Rask makes the save. Swatted over to the near side. High slot. Barbashev. Far side fired. Wide. Rebound. Gunnarsson. Near point. Gunnarsson high slot. High slot. He fires and scores. Gunnarsson from long range, and the St. Louis Blues have beaten the Boston Bruins in game two, 3-2 in overtime to even the Stanley Cup final series at one game apiece.
98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich, and Billy Jaffe is with us from Nesson and the NHL Network. Very similar to Davy Crockett in his woodsmanship. He's a swordsman and a woodsman. So we were talking about this right before you came on the air this time, is the Pastrnak opportunity at the end of the third period.
Yeah, right off the faceoff.
Right off the faceoff. And he's got it, and that's something he has to put away.
Yeah. You saw that be put away regularly by Pastrnak, and you'd hope that given the lack of, I would call flow, less flow from that line in the game, that they would come through, because we're so used to watching them come through.
Yeah,
that we all sat there like one of those moments.
This is they haven't been great, but it's 2-2. They're going to end it right now,
and everybody's going to go home with a big freaking smile and say, "Oh, they weren't good, but man, that's why we love them." And then, all right, two things. One, maybe that's just what you get for not being, sometimes you got to earn your keep, so to speak. You know, the hockey gods or whatever sport you're playing get you. And we'll also, I will at least say, I liked Binnington aggressively, popped quickly, and made a save. And that's what the kid did. And so that's what the kid did and has done this season, the second half of the year for this St. Louis Blue team.
But he hasn't been great by any means.
I'm not saying he is, but he made.
Oh, Billy,
but
you're teetering.
He made the saves. Yeah,
teetering on that take.
I know he made the save when he needed there. St. Louis was good in the game.
Yeah,
I know we got a lot to talk about, but St. Louis was good. What I expected. Maybe the Bruins. We thought we were so worried about rust in game one.
Mm-hmm.
They had a little bit of rust. Okay, just a little.
A period's worth.
Not even. They weren't awful in game one. In period one, they were just okay. We're so used to them being right.
Yeah.
Game two, to me, once St. Louis physically upped the ante, and the Bees looked to me, when I say a little bit tired, they responded, but they didn't have that jump because they haven't been pushed like that since Columbus. That's a long time. The body and the mind need a little adjusting to say, holy smokes, we better get our backsides in gear here.
Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't respond to it. I thought the series would be tied leaving Boston.
Yeah.
I did.
Weeks did too. See, I find Weeks' take from the NHL Network interesting, because he had them, I believe, at the beginning of the season, he had the Bruins winning it, believe. And he had that, this being a split. Why did you think they were going to split the first?
Because I felt that the Bruins would have enough energy and enough passion and enough, and they're good. They're obviously a damn good team, that they would come out, and I also think they're still the better team when it's all said and done. But I felt that because of the layoff, they'd find a way to win one.
Right. Like
they would find it, but winning two after that long time being off would be tough. St. Louis would also get their game going.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think they're going to go and split in St. Louis. I had the Bruins winning in six. That's what I thought all along.
All right. By the way, I just want to, because I finally read my notes that strangely get less and less as the game goes on. But remember, if you want to talk about breaks, when that goal by Coyle, there's too many men on the ice for the Bruins that wasn't called.
Was that on the Coyle goal? Or
yes.
Was I thought that was later on in the game.
See, I have power play Coyle goal.
Because they showed it.
Pass, two against four, too many men on the ice.
I don't know if it was for that goal.
Well, what did I write it wrong?
Yes.
I mean, I'm doing it. I'm doing it wrong. As it happens.
Okay. Clearly.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right.
I mean, why would I have written it down? I mean, I'm going.
How many beers in were you?
Well, I was dead sober.
Oh, really?
What do you think I'm doing all day?
I'm really not sure.
I got two kids. What do you think? I'm cracking them at 11 o'clock?
They're at school.
Yeah, but they come home
from
school.
You got 4 hours to yourself.
I got to go to the dentist today, Holmes.
All right, we did two big market teases that we've not delivered on yet. Jack Edwards, we have to talk about that. Okay, so what's going on with him? Wallet goes up to the ninth floor yesterday, and he's doing play-by-play just by himself.
Jack.
Yeah, yes. Jack is doing play-by-play by himself, not in like a booth.
Yes, I heard you guys talking about
that. Okay, what's going on?
He's doing that because that's his... I don't know. I didn't mean... Let me...
Were you scared to ask him?
No. I don't...
He's reading something from his phone.
No, I was looking at the goal that there's too many men on the ice.
Sure. There was too many men on the ice, right?
Okay. Well, I didn't get to that point. I don't think there was, but I'll look at it more. Hold on.
Everyone's so smart.
Well, you're asking me to multitask and right now. Jack was doing it because that's what he likes to do. That's how he views the game, I guess. Now, I didn't
talk
to Jack
about it.
What if
he likes to publicly masturbate? I mean, like, there's some things you can't do. I mean, you can't, like...
Well, what's wrong with him just standing there doing the game? No big deal.
Jaffe.
Wait.
Billy, if I talked to you about it off air, you would be like, this is strange.
I didn't say it's not strange, but that's what his...
It would be like taking a chef to someone else's restaurant and the guy pretending he was cooking at your table. That's weird.
But he was in the corner doing the game, right? He was on the next to the post.
He's in the corner.
I didn't ask Jack why are you doing. I know he wasn't. You're not recording it for somebody else. I think he probably digests or ingest. What would be the right word? Ingest. Takes the game in.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Better because that's how he watches the game. I guarantee you, when he's not.
Why is he wearing a microphone?
Because I think I'm guessing by hearing himself, he retains more of it and he likes it. And that's how he gets into the game. Play-by-play guys are like goalies. most of them are different birds.
Gorman seems pretty normal.
Yeah.
I said most.
Sosie's kind of a normal guy.
No. Sosie, look at Wallach. I mean, Wallach's the height of normality.
I've worked with a lot of play-by-play guys.
They work hard.
They're weird. Phenomenal. But listen, I think from what I gather, it was... You know, he's not. I heard one fan or caller talking about a recording game. You know, so you have calls for like a Road to the Cup. By the way, I'm told that in L.A. a couple of years ago, Bob Miller, legendary play-by-play guy, and Jim Fox, they did the game 7, so they could have recordings for a Road to the Cup type game.
That seems highly illegal.
I think the league allows it. I don't know. You can't do the game live, but I think you're allowed to do.
Okay, then why wouldn't he be in a booth with Brickley?
But no, they're not doing that. I'm not saying that's what they're doing.
Right.
I'm not saying that's what they're
doing. What do you think his microphone is plugged into?
It's probably plugged into an amp that he
like
can
a
hear
watermelon?
Himself. There's a little box there that I think he could hear himself.
It's plugged into his armpit. He's like.
It's like a Mapplethorpe painting.
You got to get Jack on to talk about this.
I would like to know if Jack Edwards wants to call in and talk about it. Hell yeah, I'd like to talk to Jack Edwards.
I think that he did it.
We've had Jack Edwards on before.
I know
he wrote us a song.
I think it's about that's how he retains and watch and is comfortably watching the game.
Listen, he didn't do anything wrong.
No,
it's just highly weird.
It's just interesting. I would like to. I would like to hear.
But
him
Billy,
say
there was no one of the other nine of you that was even looking at him like, "Oh, this is Jet."
That's normal.
That's normal for you guys.
Meaning, I watch the game one way. Brick watches it another. Barry, you know, we all watch it our own way.
With your eyes and like a pen or something to take notes with, right?
Right.
You're not standing up with a microphone
but
dancing
that's
around.
Me, but I'm not a play-by-play guy.
No, that's everybody. Everybody everywhere.
I will bet you. I will bet you I have, I don't know what kind of money I have on me. Probably nothing right now. I will bet you.
Might have no money.
I will bet you that other play-by-play guys out there are maybe at that type of moment.
Okay.
If they're on their own. Not all of them, but some of them would like to hear that, like we're meeting in their head or doing it or quietly or talking through it. I guarantee you they are.
Fine.
I guarantee you they are.
Yes, I would imagine that if you're used to doing play-by-play, and what I assumed when I first heard of this from Ty Anderson was that, and we can get over this.
It was a Mark game.
All right, so I thought he was just mumbling to himself, which I could completely understand because that's how you're just your habit. That's what you're doing. However,
I think he took it to the next. He took it. It was an audible mumble. Now it was. I mean, meaning he took it to that next level. I think he just wanted to. That's how he feels comfortable.
Like you could Google aliens, and then you can move to Idaho and hide in a cave. And
I think Tim Thomas did.
I think he's got a little Tim Thomas in him. All right. Well, listen. There's a lot to talk about the game. Even though the idiosyncrasies of the play-by-play man from Nesson are of interest. We will get to the game. We'll talk about the hit on Grizzlick and what Billy's thoughts were on that. We talked about Pastrnak. We'll talk about what's going on with that first line.
What isn't right now.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And we'll
they got to get better. They know it.
And interesting stuff from Ruff. He was on yesterday with Felger and Maz talking about Coyle and his experiences with Coyle in Dallas. So
Who? Ruff?
Minnie.
Oh, in Minnie. Oh, Minnesota. Okay.
Yeah. Rupper was in Minnie with him. The Wild.
And that became Quebec. When it was the Wild. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. All right. So we'll be back with Billy Jaffe.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Get the app. Get the Sports Hub. Get Toucher and Rich. Down. Sports Hub app today.
Oh, Grizzlick run into there by Sundquist. Meanwhile, the puck comes out in front, but Grizzlick is down, and there'll be a penalty coming up here.
Sundquist, he's the one that made contact with Grizzlick. He's the one that took the bad penalty against Krug in game number one. David Backus over with Steen, his old buddy. Now you got Petrangelo there, gathering of the clans.
Question will be how many minutes here with Grizzlick injured.
Looked like Grizzlick changed his level a bit, Doc, as he was going back for the puck. It looked like he just lost his, you know, he just lowered his level a little bit, and that's where the contact came by Sundquist up high. See how he's looking? He knows, and it looks like he was going to move one way and put the puck back the other way.
That is not a good analysis. He was just confused in calling it. Off the top of his head, I think so. 98.5, the Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Billy Jaffe from Nesson and from the NHL Network is in studio. What did you make of that Grizzlick hit? Do you think there'll be any additional penalty on the gentleman?
As you guys already articulated very well, they're discussing it. They have not made a decision, and they do not have to make a decision today either, considering we have 2 days, full days off in between games.
Mm-hmm.
George Parros and his staff, definitely concerned about it, that I know. I do think, I don't want to get off the tracks here too much, but if there was a major called, which is a tough call for an official in that situation.
Because we talked about this off the air, it's worse. A major is more worse
difficult.
Than getting suspended.
It's more difficult, actually, for the ref to call. And there was the low referee that made the call, the back referee, because he's just too far away on that one.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be the old 1,000% sure that it's major, and they called it a board. They didn't call it a any type of, obviously not a high stick. It wasn't. The arms were up, though. They didn't call it an elbow to the head. They called it, or a illegal contact to the head, they called it a board. Now, you could argue, oh, there was a head injury, but the official determined there that it was just in a two-minute minor penalty. Now, I'm not saying that the ref said this, but I know that they're saying in the back of their mind, listen, if it's different, if it's more than what I saw, the league will take care of that. I mean, that's the beauty and the beast of this whole review system now that we have. It puts pressure on, but also takes heat off in certain places. I didn't like the hit at all because he saw the numbers from circle in, for sure, maybe even further than that. 100%. St. Louis forced the Bruins D-men to turn an awful lot last night, and that was one of the keys to the game for St. Louis on their forecheck. Obviously, Grizz having to go to the hospital is brutal. If it is suspension worthy, it's going to be one game, and that's going to be it.
Well, let's say that's the case. Sundquist suspended for a game. Grizzlick, let's say he's out for at least a game with concussion symptoms. Let's just assume that that's probably what it is. So if they're both out, like, who makes out the worst?
How much
does
the Sundquist injury really hurt St. Louis?
It hurts them, considering that Robert Thomas is already out, and right. Who knows if he can come back in a couple of days. And Sundquist has been. I thought Sundquist take out the hit. Because I didn't like it. Sundquist, I thought, played pretty well last night. He's part of that fourth line. The way that we applaud the Bruins' fourth line, he's part of that dynamic with that team for their fourth line. He also can elevate himself to the right wing on the third line if necessary, just like a Corrali can elevate. Is it a big? It's a huge loss as well for the Bruins. I mean, I'm going to say this as an analyst. It's a big loss, but as an analyst, I think it's always bigger when you lose a defenseman. And as a Bruins fan, you lose a defenseman like Grizz, who can turn and burn and exit his own zone with the puck and maneuver. I'll say probably a little myopically that it's a bigger loss for the Bruins, but Sundquist has been a key cog. He has been of the depth for this St. Louis team, too.
So who's coming up? Is it Kampfer or Moore? Like, what do you do here?
Well, if Grizz is out, just my guess is that it would be Johnny Moore. Only because left shot. Both Kampfer and him have they've done their job. They're ready. They both have battled through a little, dings and nicks and bruises and stuff like that, injuries. I'm just guessing John Moore, but Bruce has an option of either one. He likes the left-right shooting scenario.
Okay.
And so, therefore, if you bring in a Kampfer, then you've got Clifton. Which one's going to play as a right shot, too? If you bring in John Moore, it seems more seamless, put it that way, keeping him on his left side. And remember, John Moore also played the last game when Chara was out, so he's played more recently than Kampfer.
Okay, take us back to the Columbus series, where you had a large stretch where guys like Pastrnak, were missing, and the first line was, and then something snapped, something happened, and they were able to be prolific again.
Yep.
Can you remember what they might have done and what Cassidy can take from that to try to recreate it in this series?
Well, Rich, you don't even need to go back there. You can go to the Carolina series too, where, if you remember, coming in, was it game three or game four, where they sat down, they being the top line, with assistant coaches. I think it was Joe Sacco and Pando, Jay Pandolfo, and they looked at video. And they looked at some video of what the fourth line did, and they took a page out of that of where to put the pucks, how to get onto the forecheck more. They're just trying to, I just think 63 and 88 or 88, 63, whatever you want to, doesn't matter. They're line mates. I think they're just, it's that beast and burden again of being so skilled and so confident and so able to do things. They're just trying to do too much. I'm just trying to simplify it here.
Well, how many times did they pass when they should have shot?
We saw that in each round, not just Columbus. We saw that against Toronto. We saw it against Blue Jackets. We saw it against Carolina. And you're right. The good news is that they've bounced back every time because they're so damn smart and they're so skilled. They're so they're trying to do too much. And they know it. Marchand called himself out after the game last night, not playing well enough. You just can't wait. I mean, this is so cliche. This is it. This is it. They know it, though. They don't need us to tell them that. They know it. Bergeron, to me, is the guy that's always watching and making sure he's that safety valve. He's the ultimate safety valve, right, on that submarine, so to speak. He's not letting that lid open as best as he can. So he's protecting an awful lot for him. Maybe that's why he's not involved as well. The guys, we were upstairs talking about that.
What about face-offs?
Well, they were dynamite in game one. Dynamite. Face-offs, they were 54, 55% in game one. In the ozone, Fred, they were 58%.
Well, I'm talking about Marsh and, or not Marsh. Bergie. I'm talking about Bergie.
Well, in game one, he was dynamite. Game two, you're going up against Ryan O'Reilly, who many times would be compared to a left-handed version of Patrice Bergeron. He's not quite at that level, but he's pretty damn good. I didn't like O'Reilly's first game. O'Reilly didn't like his first game. Freddie, I thought O'Reilly stepped up in more of his role in game two. I thought the physical nature of the game in all facets, and faceoffs are very physical. I felt that St. Louis was just better there.
Well, how do you change that if you're the Bruins in game three? I don't think these two teams can get more physical than they have been with each other through the first two. It's not like the Bruins can ratchet things up here.
No. It just like I said before game two, that St. Louis can't become faster skaters overnight. But what they can do is play a faster style of game for their liking, which they didn't. Well, and how do you do that? For St. Louis, that means you actually slow it down a little bit. Their gaps were much better. Although early on last night, fellas, a few times I'm like, oh boy, St. Louis is backing up again, like to the top or middle of their own circles. And I'm like, that isn't good for them. But it switched. And they started meeting and greeting at the blue line better. Mm-hmm. They started, and they're long, big defensemen, and that's what they want to do. And then they didn't screw around with the puck. They moved it out quickly last night. They moved it out. And then they got another forecheck, and we talked about them turning around the Bees' D-men more, forcing him to get hit, etc. With regard to the Bees, Johnny, how do they become better? Well, don't screw around with the puck. Force St. Louis into areas, especially with your speed wide. Do that. Don't, if you're going to take it into the middle of the ice and you're not going to do it fast and lateral passes, they're going to gap up on you. Speed wide. We saw early in game one, Jake DeBrusque jet by a defenseman, right? Yep. Didn't score, but he was able to jet by. You know, he made an outside-inside move, but you have to start with that wide speed, I think. And you got to get it in. And you have to do that. You have to execute your speed game.
Knocking Tuukka around. How much of that is in the game plan?
That's part of the physical game. I do think that first penalty against Tuukka, the guy was driving to the net. He was at Barbashev, if I remember. He was. Sorry for forgetting here. I know the
Maroon.
Second one was Jaden Schwartz.
There are the notes. There they are.
Maroon.
No, it wasn't Maroon. It wasn't. The first one.
I didn't look. I don't have it.
Either way, he went straight into him.
Sammy Blais. Sammy Blais. Yeah, Sammy Blais went right into him. He's a rookie. He was saying, I'm getting to the net. Getting to the net was a huge part of the game plan for St. Louis. Sammy Blais was saying, he was just driving to the net with the puck. That's one of those calls that about a half dozen years ago, Rich, came into play that, you know, even though you may have the puck, you still cannot encroach in the goalie and contact with them and be able to score, or be, you know, legally right there. And so that to me wasn't I'm going after Tuukka. Now, Jaden Schwartz later in the game, not a dirty player, but he was saying, I'm getting my ass to the front. I mean, he didn't control himself there. And I thought that was like come on, what are you doing? Like,
that's also undisciplined.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what are you doing right there? Like, if he had actually just kept driving the net but had a stick on the ice, well, maybe there was an opportunity for them to score. But the first one, I didn't think so much, but there's no question, Rich, no question that they said, we're getting to the front of the net. We're going to try and make life uncomfortable for Tuukka.
If they keep doing that, God bless them, because they're going to, it's going to bite him in the ass.
You hope.
What's worse, going on a penalty kill or hitting the goalie?
I agree with you, but the Bruins' power play's got to get better.
Well, sure. Okay, so were the Blues doing anything? Because, I mean, easily just taking a look back, and the easy answer would be, well, the first line's been awful, so you can blame them for a lot of the woes of what's been going on with the power play. But just from the outside looking in, as an analyst, did you see that the Blues were doing anything special? Or was it more just a problem of the Bruins couldn't get their crap together?
Are you talking top line in particular, or all?
I'm talking about the first unit.
I thought that the Blues PK was really good. If you're talking PK, I thought they rotated very well to the strong side quickly, and then the Bruins did not. Usually, the Bruins don't have to manufacture; they zip the puck. That's the term I love. They just move it so fast that it makes you, as a longtime hockey analyst, or just as a longtime fan, or even a new fan, you're like, holy smokes, they've got that sixth sense, that telepathy of where each other's going to be.
Yeah.
They're not doing that. I felt they were put in an uncomfortable position. I also thought that they didn't help themselves. I thought they I thought they were trying to manufacture instead of just making plays. And that difference of a second, not even a half a second, means all the difference in the world. But St. Louis using what I would call a very strong PK, almost at times having more than three guys in the picture. They're bringing a fourth guy over, and the weak side D-man just comes to the middle of the ice. But I thought they did a nice job of that. And the Bruins are, you know, when they're making their passes, the difference between making a pass to somebody's forehand and backhand on the power play is oftentimes the difference in making a goal happen. Because if you put the puck to an area where Torrey Krug's got to go backhand to forehand, a lot of times that shooting lane is already taken or that next pass is already gone. And the Bruins at times, I thought, were forced into that, A, by St. Louis, and B, by their own slower decisions.
All right, Billy Jaffe from Nesson. Thank you so much for the time, sir.
Nice to see you. I'm going to go get my rifle and go into the woods now.
That's right. David Crockett. Now, are you going to St. Louis?
Musket, that's right. Thank you. No, I'm not. We're doing the full studio here out of Boston. Okay. So,
was Jack going to St. Louis?
Jack will be going to St. Louis.
All right. Now we're talking.
He was just tweeting from the airport. Our listeners are trying to get him to call in.
Oof.
No, so we're going to be doing, you know, I'll be doing Nesson stuff today. I'm not sure about tomorrow, but
taking
also
the Spruce Goose over there.
full hour pre and post again on Saturday with all the guys. So big show. All good. Good to see you guys. I felt it would be 1-1 leaving here. I feel it's going to be 2-2 leaving St. Louis. And after that, game on, baby. I had Bruins in six. I picked the Bruins to win it all when the playoffs began. I'm with you.
All right, there you go. Billy Jaffe, encouraging words.
Come on.
We'll see you on Saturday when Nesson.
Yeah, you should come in one day and watch it with us in Nesson. See what we do.
There you go. See how it's done.
See like how I come in here to see how it's done.
See, so you want him to come.
You come in and talk.
Hold on. You want him to go in and watch you watch TV?
I would love to hear his analysis.
Oh, I see. Okay. I thought it was just
now,
like...
You put Fred next to Dale Arnold Fred. And you right in between. Now, I'd watch that.
I'd have to dinner with the two of them.
Get Twitch for that.
I'd watch that. Billy, I'll come in and watch that.
He's
thinking about it right now.
One of Billy's... maybe his first birthday when he moved here, he invited me out to dinner for his birthday. It was very nice, my wife and I. And I get there and just like, oh, Dale Arnold's here. I got nothing against the guy. It was just like, you know, we'd been making fun of him and stuff. So it was like, oh, hey, I have to confront.
You guys can be fast friends.
I know. We bust his balls. He's just like a nice enough
guy. He's a good dude. No, he's a great guy.
No, Wallach hates. He was.
That's why I like him.
He was a real dick to Wallach.
And on that note,
all right.
Hey, Billy, good to see you.
All right. Here are the headlines. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Watch Toucher and Rich on Twitch. Follow the Sports Hub on Twitch.tv for live shows and reruns. 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack. 98.5, The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Xana, dude, we heard from you last night. Very upset. People telling you to shut up in the stands.
I was getting great. People in the crowd outside were great. I loved it. They get in there and they're giving me that look. And I said when I was on your contest, I want people who can cheer for the Bruins just as loud when they're up or when they're tied as they can, and cheer when they're down. That's what the team needs. We need to yell louder. I am calling everyone who's going to game five to make that the loudest it has ever been. I want louder than 2011 game seven against Tampa. I want that building rocking, yelling, screaming, supporting our team so that we can go out there and look for victory.
All right. Are you like in the teacher's lounge? Like, where are you making? Because you have like a gainful employment. Where are you right now?
I have stepped out for a moment. I'm on my prep right now, so I got like an hour.
That's great.
That's great, Xander.
And I was like, really? Hey, I didn't get to touch with Rich earlier, but I got to call now because I want this team going. I want people pumped. People are in there. They paid like $600 to $2,000 for a seat, and then another $26 for two beers. They should be out there screaming and yelling, not wondering what work's going to be like tomorrow, because if they win, work is going to be better no matter how late you're there.
All right, Xanadu.
Boy, I love it. Great observation, Fred. I didn't even think that way. Like, he's probably staying next to the coffee pot with the door closed.
Yeah. You know, like, it's easy to forget that Xanadu's, like, working on a master's degree.
He's probably between, like, second and third period right now.
But honestly, it's kind of like we were talking about the Nesson people with Jack up in the halo. I think that people there are kind of used to it, him ranting and raving. Well, I mean, it may be odd for us to have that picture in our minds, but I think the people he works with and his students watch him do this and like, oh, it's just him.
Well, if he was ever just kind of strange before, now he's a rock star because he's being used in every promo about Boston fans now. Did you see that special that they did? It was him and Big Scary Man Guy and Bruins Ultimate Warrior. However, it was the Bruins Ultimate Warrior from the BWO, not the snorting, growling one we had in studio.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm sure there's probably a little tension between the two.
Goodness.
But they were everywhere on the broadcast beforehand. And like all the ads, the thing Chara tweeted out with Tom Brady in it, that's got Xanadu. So whereas he might have been a little strange before, I have a feeling his kids probably think he's a rock star.
And I can only imagine how electric it was when Bill Belichick took the flag and started waving it around.
Dude, I bet it was amazing.
I will tell
you. I'm
not
joking. I bet the place went crazy.
The place did go crazy, actually, but not as crazy as when they put RKK back up on the Jumbotron.
RKK. See, I thought that was going to be the turnaround moment.
Well, what happened was the crowd went nuts when he waved the banner, and we all expected that. And then later on, you know, Belichick is in his suite, and they showed him there. And
who was behind him? Pink Stripes.
That's right.
Ernie Adams.
Ernie Adams is behind him.
Ernie Adams.
Yeah, no, it's Ernie like Adams goes, is in the box. That's
goes,
true.
They goes, let him in.
He
they
goes
let
nowhere him without the Whisperer.
Yeah, Ernie Adams is like, there's parking available. Lot 5. I know the cheap garage.
But no,
the calculations on the popcorn prices at the stand downstairs compared to the one on level 4, and I found out that the value pick would be to go to stand number 6. It's near grade number 72.
That's right. So they put Belichick up on the screen, and the place goes nuts. And then they put RKK up, and it got kicked up a notch. People went.
Is he waving his kerchief?
Yes. He picked up this towel, going.
Took out his pocket square.
Screaming. I mean, it is top of his lungs. People love the Robert Kraft.
The visuals.
Love him.
I saw. What did I tell you? I told you when he was in the middle of all this, when they rolled him back out, and he ended up going to a sporting event. I said he's going to be treated like a hero.
He got the loudest cheer of the night by a factor of maybe 50%. Seriously.
Was he wearing a blue blazer and just cutting loose? Because Bill was in like a crazy was that a black leather?
It was like a zip up, like a leather zip up.
Kraft, you know? Too, by the way. I think Kraft was sporting the leather last night.
Really? Did it have his Demons logo on the back?
I mean, the visual of Robert Kraft with a rag in his hand. It's perfect. And when they show him, it's great because they usually do it before like a power play, right?
Yeah. So the last two times it was like right when they're
about to drop the puck on a power play. So the place is going nuts. And he's just like, hey, what do you want from me, baby? Let's get this crowd.
Well, you fools were at Woodstock. I was banging all the babes that.
He's the best.
Being the address is just.
All right, so Joe Murray has some updated odds on the Bruins to win the Stanley Cup after last night's game. The Bruins still favored by -120. The Blues are even, and according to Joe Murray, he went all caps on this and said, get the Bruins now. He believes that is a bet worth making.
Well, he was in here earlier, and first of all, he didn't want to give us his two big plays because he wanted to save them for the podcast. I said, what the hell's wrong with you? Just what are you here for then? The teaser podcast, and then it turns out that he is, and I guess he made like an error about what it actually is, like what league it is, but he said take What do you say? Take Liverpool over Tottenham?
Tottenham.
Tottenham. Play it to be a draw.
A draw. No, that was Lifshatz. That was the Lifshatz special. Lifshatz this weekend say, bet that to be a draw. Apparently, it's plus something, plus 150.
Okay. You're betting on it to be a draw?
That's what Lifshatz's call is.
Bet it to be a draw. That's the smart play. Now, does anyone want to guess how Lifshatz hurt his neck?
That was an item we talked about, too.
Do we know?
I know from off air, but I'm going to... What was he doing when he hurt his neck?
Sneezing.
No. That wasn't Fred's theory.
No. I know how he hurt his neck.
Oh, you really know now? I don't know.
How?
Sleeping.
I like your theory a lot better.
It's not as weird as I thought it was going to be.
No. Fred's theory on air was way better than that.
No, it was that was Murray's theory.
Oh, it was Murray's theory.
So well, he said he had Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, and he's a heavy guy.
The head just keeps growing.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to read an email that we received?
Sure. It
says, subject, St. Louis Blues fan, why are Boston fans trash? Gents, let me preface this with, this was written yesterday, by the way, before the game. Let me preface this with, the 2018-19 Bruins are a hell of a team. And before you call this game one sour grapes, the Bruins came out flying in the second and third period. You blew the doors off. Well, deserved win on the Bruins' part. I have a lot of respect for them. In fact, growing up and playing youth hockey in St. Louis, Cam Neely was and is still one of my favorite players of all time. My question is, why do Bruins, Red Sox, and Boston fans in general act like heathen trash? Boston fans have a well-deserved reputation for acting classless. You guys are about a half step better than Philly fans, barely, but I digress. During the playoffs this year, first, four Bruins fans beat the crap out of two Carolina Hurricanes fans, sending them to the hospital. What?
When did that happen?
I don't know. Maybe it happened.
I mean, maybe it did, but I've heard
okay.
You don't think that
yes,
it would Carolina have been, yes. wouldn't have taken that and made it
No, it would have been a story, and rightly so. I mean, if there was a fight in the parking lot or in the game and Bruins fans...
Sending them to the hospital?
Yeah, that would have been a news story, but he found out some information. Maybe it happened. Who cares?
Then during game one in Boston, my friend and his girlfriend, who are St. Louis natives but live in Boston, attended the game. They were heckled all game, and a Bruins fan attempted to instigate a fight with him on the subway on the way home from the game by shoving him. Pretty tough Bruins fans picking a fight with a guy and his girlfriend.
That I believe. Yeah, absolutely believe that.
What is your problem, Boston? I truly want to know. Is it because you feel entitled due to the amount of championships you won? Are you spoiled? Or is it just because you are just East Coast arrogant trash?
We have pompous mountains.
We do have very pompous mountains. I've learned that from Mr. Bob Fesco in Indianapolis. In Kansas City. I've spent time in Boston, and the people there have this entitled swagger with that god-awful accent. Again with the accent. Furthermore, I've had run-ins with Red Sox fans during the Cardinals-Red Sox World Series
now,
games.
Now, that is not true. That is not true. The Cardinals fans, everything you heard from Red Sox fans were how great the Cardinals fans were, and they were giving up their seats. And that is not true. The Cardinals fans were treated fine, and the Cardinals fans were great to the Bruins or to the Red Sox fans, because that was the big story about how when they were winning, when they finally were going to clinch, the St. Louis led all the Red Sox.
Maybe
fans
he's
down.
Talking about 2013 and not 2004.
That's got to be what he's talking about. Well, I mean, either
way. 2013 is when that happened.
No, 04 is when the Cardinals fans at Busch Stadium were giving up their seats to the Red Sox fans down low to watch them clinch it.
Furthermore, I've had run-ins with Red Sox fans during the Cardinals-Red Sox World Series games. Your fans are boisterous, braggadocious a-holes. So enlighten me, Boston. Why are you trashy sports fans? I will be at Game 3 in St. Louis. Perhaps I'll reciprocate the same treatment to your fans as the city shows visiting fans.
Why are you telling us this? So you're going to start a fight at the game? what are you telling us this
Is he warning everyone? I am more than happy to have a civil dialogue about this one on the air.
Oh, my God, Jesus Christ.
Go Blues! Signed, Kyle. So beware. If you're at the game and you're a Bruins fan, you go out there, look out for a guy named Kyle.
Kyle's like checking his email every half hour.
Kyle's got
claws. Do they want me on?
I've worn Cardinal shirts to many, many Red Sox games where they were playing the Cardinals, and I have had nary an eye blinked at me. Now, if you go to Tampa Bay and wear a Jets jersey, that's a whole different situation.
Dan just made a great point. The dude from Carolina that wants to fight you, come up to like a baseball game that you're coaching and like pick a fight, his name's Kyle.
Oh, hey. So maybe he's,
we've cracked the code.
Yeah, well, I believe that a guy picked on a guy in a blues jersey on the train. There's no question that that.
By the way, I'm just now getting emailed a story. 4 Boston Bruins fans arrested in vicious beating at MBTA station. This was from May 9th, which would be after Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Final. The alleged beating happened about midnight at the North Quincy MBTA station and left the victim with facial fractures.
Oh,
there was no kind of video that captured the assault. There were numerous tips that turned a lot of these guys in. I'm looking at these dudes. How did they have tickets?
I don't know. Maybe they didn't. But if you're kicking someone's ass or giving someone crap because they support an opposing team, you're an idiot. There's a good, fun heckling, but if you're so wound up that someone's a fan of another team, the only time I was like, oh, God, this is going to be bad, is when there was like 4 Montreal fans during the playoffs, and they were waving not the Canadian national flag, but a Canadian's flag on the Oar statue.
And I'm like, you're asking for it.
I'm like, what are you doing? Now, I mean, anyone in their right mind wouldn't do anything to them. But I'm like, I mean, what are you doing? I mean, you're gonna, like, a cop's got to go over there and go, hey, I'm going to arrest you just so you don't get killed. But, yes.
So it says, Fred, call Kyle and hang up on him.
Yeah, sure. I want to have a civil dialogue, and hanging up wouldn't do it.
And nothing there's, like a guy asking you.
There's no more put upon. There's no more put upon fan base than the Cardinal fans.
And by the way, I don't see anything that says they were at the game. They were wearing some Bruins logos, but it's almost like, do you remember when the guy, when we had Tim from the Dropkick Murphys on, and there was that episode of To Catch a Predator, and the dude got arrested by Chris Hansen or confronted, and he's wearing a Dropkick Murphys shirt? He's like, of course, that's the kind of advertising. Now it's like Dropkick Murphys fan gets arrested for trying to pick up a kid.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you're in a Bruins jersey and you're fighting a guy because he's a fan of another team, you're out of your mind. I mean, and then you go to jail, and then what did you do? And what'd you do? I mean, you got in a fight, and now you're in jail, and then you got to sit there, and then you got to pay the bill, then you got to pay the lawyer.
So he said, "Dear Kyle, you are a douche nozzle. Sincerely, Boston."
Now, if he was talking about Patriots fans, I would be like, absolutely
that's
right.
A whole different thing.
Yeah, I mean, if you're... he didn't even mention the Patriots.
No, nope.
And those are the only that's fans that annoy me.
That's low-hanging fruit.
I think Patriots he did at the very fans. Beginning. Very beginning of the thing.
Yeah, Patriots fans are the worst.
Yeah, no, that's easy.
No, actually, he didn't. He said Bruins, Red Sox, and Boston fans.
No, if you were going to go... I mean,
Red Sox fans are the tamest of all of them.
Red
Sox fans are like, you know, old dudes.
Yeah.
Like, we're just very polite and have money.
Yeah. They own, like, paper companies and things of that nature.
Right.
But they don't even mention the Patriots. See, I would have given them a whole thing if he mentioned the Patriots.
You okay over there? You look like you're a little uncomfortable.
I am uncomfortable.
I mean, it's just...
The thing?
Yeah. It's was not cut to my specifications.
Yeah.
It's getting my lip all crapped up.
Yeah. That's not good.
All right, we got a minute to kill. What do you guys want to talk about?
We're going to ride this out? Why not?
I mean, if I break now, then we're going to get back at a minute to go.
And then all of a sudden it's 10:03.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. No, I got you.
And then because TV gets all upset.
So we're all in agreement here. The Bruins still win the
series. Let's not talk about the Bruins. Nick, how's your heart?
We're not talking about the Bruins. Okay.
No, you're feeling all right?
All right. Pasta and Huck, we still believe in you guys. We still think that you could win this thing.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Mel, what should we go home and eat?
Pasta.
What kind?
Pasta bolognese.
All right. And then at the
pasta
end of the
meat sauce for lunch and pasta.
All right. And then what should we play?
Monopoly.
Okay, that's what we should do with our family?
I don't have a yes.
Well, Pasternak, we're going to end the show right now. What do you think?
Thanks.
All right, you're welcome. Everyone enjoy their day. That'll do it for us. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.